शुक उवाच आत्मा मायं रिते राजन् आत्मा मायं रिते राजन् परस्य अनुभावा आत्मना परस्यानुभवात्मना ना गतितार्था संबंधा ना गतितार्था संबंधा स्वप्ना द्रष्टुर इवान्यसा स्वप्ना द्रष्टुर इवान्यसा शीशुक उवाच आत्ममयमृते राजन् परस्यानुभवात्मना न गतितार्थसम्बन्धा स्वप्न द्रष्टुर इवान्यसा शीशुक उवाच आत्ममयमृते राजन् परस्यानुभवात्मना नागतितार्थसम्बन्धा स्वप्न द्रष्टुर इवान्यसा Shishuka Uvacha. Shishukadev Goswami said, Atman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mayam, energy, Rete, without, Rajan, O King, Parasya, of the pure soul, Anubhavatmana, of the purely conscious. Na, never. Gateta, it can so happen. Artha, meaning. Sambandha, relation with the material body. Svapna, dream. Drashtu, of the seer, Eva, like. I'm sorry, Prabhu, I have to laugh so much because you are sitting in the midst of the Matajis. It's for translation. Okay, it's nevertheless funny, but why not? Anyasa, completely. Translation. Shri Shukadev Goswami said, O King, unless one is influenced by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no meaning to the relationship of the pure soul and pure consciousness with the material body. That relationship is just like a dreamer seeing his own body working. We will read in a minute the purport, but before doing so, let us hear the question of Parikshit Maharaj, which gave rise to this answer. The answer is highly philosophical, and if you understand them, it is just a revolution in your Krishna conscious life. I just studied it this morning, and although being aware of the philosophy, I feel just very touched by Prabhupada's wonderful explanation. But we need to understand the context, really. Parikshit Maharaj is asking in the aged chapter of the Bhagavatam, Canto 2, a lot of very important questions. And one question, and they are all answered. He presents his spiritual master with a list of difficult questions, and the question which we are dealing with today is, O learned Brahmana, please go in the back of the room, because otherwise your sound will be in the ears of the Vaishnavas. And if possible, just my dear translator ji, just go with your voice somewhere where we are not disturbed. Yes, you also. The system is just very simple. We want to have maximum concentration, which is very difficult in this age of Kali, because our minds always go to different things. That's what we want to achieve. So please, let us go back to this question. Yad ad datu mato brahman deharambo syadatu bi yadrichchaya hetunava bhavanto janate yata. The question is, O learned Brahmana, the transcendental spirit soul is different from the material body. Does he acquire the body accidentally or by some cause? Will you kindly explain this, for it is known to you. So this is a classical question which became controversial in our movement. What are the causes of the material embodiment of the part and parcel of the Lord? Maharaj Parikshit inquires about this very important matter for the benefit of all classes of candidates on the path of self-realization and devotional service to the Lord. The question, to put it very simply, is, why are we here in this world? Now the answer is given in this text 1 of chapter 9. Atma mayam rite rajan parasyanu bhavatmana nagate tarta sambandha svapna drashtur ivanyasa. Translation. Shri Sukadev Goswami said, O king, unless one is influenced by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no meaning to the relationship of the pure soul and pure consciousness with the material body. That relationship is just like a dreamer's seeing his own body working. Purport. Maharaj Parikshit's question as to how a living entity began his material life, although he is apart from the material body and mind, is perfectly answered. The spirit soul is distinct from the material conception of his life, but he is absorbed in such a material conception because of being influenced by the external energy of the Lord called Atma Maya. This has already been explained in the first canto in connection with Vyasadeva's realization of the Supreme Lord and his external energy. The external energy is controlled by the Lord, and the living entities are controlled by the external energy, by the will of the Lord. Therefore, although the living entity is purely conscious in his pure state, he is subordinate to the will of the Lord and being influenced by the external energy of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 15.15, also the same thing is confirmed. The Lord is present within the heart of every living entity, and all the living entities' consciousness and forgetfulness are influenced by the Lord. Now the next question automatically made will be, why the Lord influences the living entity to such consciousness and forgetfulness? The answer is that the Lord clearly wishes that every living entity be in his pure consciousness as a part and parcel of the Lord, and thus be engaged in the loving service of the Lord, as he is constitutionally made. But because the living entity is partially independent also, he may not be willing to serve the Lord, but may try to become as independent as the Lord is. All the non-devotee living entities are desirous of becoming equally as powerful as the Lord, although they are not fit to become so. The living entities are illusioned by the will of the Lord because they wanted to become like him. Like a person who thinks of becoming a king without possessing the necessary qualifications, when the living entity desires to become the Lord himself, he is put in a condition of dreaming that he is a king. Therefore, the first sinful will of the living entity is to become the Lord, and the consequent will of the Lord is that the living entity forget his factual life and thus dream of the land of Utopia, where he may become one like the Lord. The child cries to have the moon from the mother. Oh, mother, give me the moon. And the mother gives the child a mirror to satisfy the crying, disturbing child with the reflection of the moon. Similarly, the crying child of the Lord is given over to the reflection, the material world, to lord it over as karami, and to give this up in frustration to become one with the Lord. Both these stages are dreaming illusions only. There's no necessity of tracing out the history of when the living entity desired this. But the fact is that as soon as he desired it, he was put under the control of Atma Maya by the direction of the Lord. Therefore, the living entity in his material condition is dreaming falsely that this is mine and this is I. The dream is that the conditioned soul thinks of his material body as I, or falsely thinks that he is the Lord and that everything in connection with the material body is mine. Thus, only in dream does the misconception of I and mine persist, life after life. This continues life after life as long as the living entity is not purely conscious of his identity as the subordinate part and parcel of the Lord. In his pure consciousness, however, there's no such misconceived dream, and in that pure conscious state, the living entity does not forget that he is never the Lord, but that he is eternally the servitor of the Lord in transcendental love.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Shatharine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadadha Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Ya Krishna Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Please get me the first canto, chapter 7. This verse, and explaining this verse, Srila Prabhupada became so enthusiastic that he said, read every day at least one verse. Just by one verse, you make advancement 100 yards. Huh? So if you read two, you make advancement for 200 yards or three, etc. The verse again says, O King, unless one is influenced by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no meaning to the relationship of the pure soul and pure consciousness with the material body. That relationship is just like a dreamer's seeing his own body working. The question which is often put to devotees in the movement for Krishna consciousness is, why, if we were in perfect harmony with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in an atmosphere free of material desires, could we ever come here in this material world? This is a question which I suppose everyone in this room has asked at one time or another. Isn't it, Thomas? Have you also asked this? How did you come here? Nicht mehr da machen? It is really the question. And we all have become satisfied, more or less, and not worrying any longer about it. However, you know, we think now, where we are in the movement for Krishna consciousness, anyways, that state is clearly beyond my perception. This is how our GBC body addresses this question. They say it's clearly beyond our perception. We cannot speculate about it. And therefore, this is a conclusion, we have to understand what Prabhupada says about it in, when he directly addresses the subject matter. So, in making my own studies with this question, because as a preacher, I can say, well, I don't worry any longer, I want to get out of here. But people who come in contact with us asked us, how did it happen? Can you give me an explanation? If you do not give a satisfying explanation, they think your philosophy stinks. So, as preachers, we have to give an explanation for it. You may personally also think, well, anyways, I'm now in the movement, I want to get out of this material existence, but I don't worry. Probably your perception was not very clear. The first canto, you went to the second canto. This is maybe because of the mind. The first canto, seventh chapter. So this is really a question which we want to address. Now, Prabhupada has said something very, very interesting. He said, actually, the soul is not fallen. Please let us repeat this. Actually, we are not fallen. We only think we are fallen. And he gave the example of the moon, which on a cloudy night seems to move because the clouds are moving. Have you ever been in this situation? You look up to the moon in the sky and the clouds are passing before the moon, and it just appears that the moon is moving. In the similar way, the conditioned soul seems to be moving in this world, but in actuality, he is not moving. It's the movement of the material energy. And this movement of the material energy develops as soon as the conditioned soul forgets the Supreme Lord. As soon as the Supreme Personality, soon as the soul forgets the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is placed and develops a desire to enjoy independently from Krishna. He is placed by the Lord into this material energy and is a part of the and perceives this material energy like a dreamer perceives a dream. The example has been given of a child who cries to get the moon. It is something which is impossible, if the mother wants to somehow satisfy the disturbing child, she will give him a mirror and then say, "This is the moon, it is also silvery," and the child becomes totally absorbed in the mirror, looks there and sees itself and is very, very, absorbed in this reflection. In the same way, the conditioned soul is placed by the Lord under the influence of the external energy and imagines so many things. And it is like if you go to bed also. At that moment, there's a stage when you forget your surroundings and you enter into an illusion, the illusion of the dream. In that dream, you might become very, very fearful due to a tiger, for instance. You become totally absorbed in this reflection of reality, that mental reflection of the reality, and you cry and you become totally disturbed by it. So in the same way, the conditioned soul becomes absorbed in this material reality and becomes totally disturbed by it. It has a dreamer, there's a very interesting example, has his life outside of the dream. He's lying on the bed and is not really seeing anything, and he's just there with closed eyes. In the same way, you also have an existence outside of your life which you are leading now. You are an eternal soul, eternally part and parcel of Krishna. Only because our forgetfulness with Krishna are we partaking in this dream of material existence. And we begin to feel for our role. When you want to forget Krishna, you need Krishna to make you forget Krishna and take on a different role. Sarvasya chaham kriti sanivishtu. He's situating in the heart and he's helping you to identify with the dream. He's making it all possible. He's the director of your dream. Srila Prabhupada says how in his said once about his childhood, how he was playing a certain role, and the director, one Mr. Amrit Lal Ghosh, was telling them, especially him, feel like this. Forget now that you are such and such person. Feel like this. Get into it. This is exactly how we are in the conditioned soul life. Let me just make sure that the example is understood. Have you ever been in a theater play? Yeah? Have you seen the difficulty which arises when you remember I'm so-and-so brahmachari and my clothes need washing? It is almost impossible to continue with a play if you don't get into it. But have you ever noticed how easy it becomes if you become identified with the role in the play? It just goes Good actors are able to just separate their life on the stage from their real life. They just go zoop into it and they forget their real life for the time which they are acting. They become totally one with the role, so to say, in feeling. Then it's a good theater. Prabhupada describes that when they played the play after having been directed by this Mr. Amrit Lal Ghosh, the people in the audience were wiping their eyes and crying because it was so good. They were all the young actors were really feeling it and forgetting it. So Krishna sees that you want to forget him, and then he says, all right, you want to become the imitation king on this stage, all right, feel like this, play like this, do like this. And he directs you throughout the sad game or sad play of your material existence. Now Krishna gives you this memory, and when one life stops, he also takes that memory. Srila Prabhupada again gave himself as an example. He said, according to the reading of the Bhrigu Samhita, he was a physician, doctor, in his last life, sinless and noble. Prabhupada said, I don't know, it may be, it may not be. But now it's all gone. Svapna iva, svapna drashtu iva, like a dream. Material life is like a dream, because just like a dream is only there for a short time, also the material, this material existence is there for a short time. Each one of you who sits here had many dreams. In the same way, you all had many, many lives before. Some of your lives are still written in your eyes. You know how to look, you can see. So, it's therefore, because material life is like an endless series of dreams, we are not fallen. And this brings a very interesting conclusion with us. We can revive our natural position, our Krishna consciousness, as soon as we wake up from this material existence, from this dreamlike state. Now, let me go back to the to this question which has always been asked. Here, Prabhupada has been asked this once in Hamburg. When Srila Prabhupada invited questions, one devotee asked if it was possible to become Krishna conscious in this lifetime. Prabhupada answered, it is possible in 1 second, provided you are serious. It is not difficult. Then he says, especially you are all so young. We expect at least you'll live for 50 years more. Oh, that is sufficient time. Sufficient. More than sufficient. More than sufficient. If for 50 years one chants simply Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, he is sure to become perfect. There's no doubt about it. Now, but you can wake up from material life and be... Don't say it. Just... and then... I personally had no idea. I just, try to orient myself. Heidelberg. In 1 second, I woke up, and then it was just a question of a quick orientation, and then one is there. So this is how you can become Krishna conscious. However, the dream has to break. You are not fallen. You are Krishna conscious, but you think you are fallen because of your dreaming. Now, what can anyone say? What is the cause of this dream? What would have to break, in other words, if you are going to wake up? The false identification. We are collecting answers. It's a good question, isn't it? Please, you are on the bed. Imagine this scenario. You are sleeping. And dreamsky. Dreaming. When will the dream break? You have to be woken up by someone. Mm-hmm. I must tell you, all your answers are still in the darkness of the night. But you are definitely, all these answers are in one sense, in the brightness of the sunlight of Krishna consciousness. You are all correct with all your answers up till now. What is the cause of the dream of material existence? Why are we here? Gabi? Gabi found the answer. We want to enjoy separately from Krishna. Only if we can become free of this desire, our dream will stop, because this is the cause of our material existence. We are placed, so to say, in the reflection, in the material existence. We are given over to the material energy, just like the child who's given over, who gets his mirror and his plane, and gives him a little, yes, you can have the moon here. Because we wanted to enjoy separately from Krishna. And therefore, we are in this material energy under the influence of the modes of material nature, which influence us since time immemorial. Prakritim. Purusham Prakriti Chaiva. Purusham Prakriti Chaiva. I don't remember this verse now. Katham Iti Manyate. We have the half verse, the first and the fourth line. We in the material energy think we are the doers of activities which are in actuality conducted by the material energy. We think we are the doers, but it is an illusion. We are just being moved around. It's the material energy which moves. We are not moving. We are like the moon, transcendental to the movements of the clouds of material existence. So, fallen means as soon as we desire to enjoy separately from Krishna's service, that brings the conclusion, if you want to, if you keep yourself always in service, there is no falling. Shri Krishna confirms this point in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says, mancha yo vyabhicharina, sagunan samajityeva brahmabhujaya kalpate. One who is constantly engaged in devotional service, and not falling from this, he is always on the transcendental state. He is not coming down. So this is really the essence of the answer. We are not fallen. We only think we are. We are here in this world like a dreamer in a dream, who identifies with a dream. And by the process of devotional service, we can wake up from this dream. Now it's very, very interesting. I found this very interesting. A dream breaks also, and it's just so much misery. And you just go like, in the dream. Have you had this nightmare? You just go like, I won't shock you once again. And you just wake up and you say, I still have my arm. Yes, the head is also there. Oh, I'm so happy. This is how a devotee in this material life, he has to understand material existence is suffering. If he still think, oh yeah, if I do it right, I can enjoy it. I mean, I can get the appreciation from others. There's a rumor that we might get a new temple, maybe in 10 years or so. So I can get a room. Then, okay, it's not so good to talk with women intimately, but I can do this. And derive some pleasure out of it. Oh, okay. It's not all right to do this and that. This time, I can invisibly cheat the Lord. Invisibly. No one will see it. If we do not want to wake up from the dream, it will be very, very difficult. And this desire, my dear Prabhus, is very deep in the heart. Oh. Isn't it, if you think about it, you can become Krishna conscious in 1 second. Do you believe it, Vishwadev? No, let us not have an answer, but I want to just, Danishta, in 1 second you can become Krishna conscious. What do you think? It's very, yes, of course we like to to do this. You know, I'm an old man now, not so old, but if I hear this in 1 second, I can become Krishna. I just wrote my Vyasa Puja offering to Prabhupada, and I said, my heart is still like a coal mine. I've been washing since 25 years, not 25, not 71 I joined. More than 20 years at least. Washing and washing, still dirt is coming. Desires to subtly enjoy this material energy. And disturbing. It gets disturbing. So I feel there will be one time or one point in the life when out of misery one just says like, ah, I have enough. I can't procrastinate. Time is running out. How long will I be in this half-dead state of, of so on. And when this is there, the dream will break. Pong. Now, this is what I wanted to say this morning. I have one more point, but I think if you ask the question, this point will come out, so I reserve it. Do you have any questions regarding this? Was it interesting for you? If you want to study this subject, because after all, you will have to answer the question at one point of your life, please read in your private study Canto 2, Chapter 9, Text 1. And what I recommend to you is to also read Prabhupada's lecture, which was given in Tokyo on this verse. All what I said today is not, I mean, obviously every lecture will put his own understanding and place emphases and also draw other sources. There's certainly a personal note in every lecture, but it is based on this lecture in Tokyo, which I've personally found very clear and instructive. So if you want to study it in the original, I can imagine Madan Manohara, who is an intellectual, will like to read this. In the original, it's in that Bhagavatam lecture series. If you don't have it, you can ask me. I could arrange for a photocopy. Very interesting. When you read it, you feel how Prabhupada really feels for this point, how he is so enthusiastic in preaching. It's a very, very important lecture, so please read it. Or you could even hear it. It's possible to hear it also. Yeah. Yes, Danishtha, I saw you first. If the disciple doesn't awake, yeah. Yes. Yes. Is the spiritual master present? Patient. Paziente or something, yes. How do you say in the Italian language, please? Patient. Paziente, yes. Einfach ein E dran, dann ist das. Ist das da? Patiente. In the fifth canto of Srimad, so let me repeat it for posterity. If the disciple doesn't awake even after so many years, does the spiritual master remain patient? In the fifth canto, it has been stated that spiritual masters are very kind to their disciples because they are not becoming impatient even if the disciples don't understand but continuously give instructions. Yes, the spiritual master in our tradition are patient. They have to be. The verse says so. The spiritual master has to feel compassion, and compassion is only possible if he feels for the difficulties his disciples undergo. We saw in Srila Prabhupada this great compassion. He would sometimes in many lectures, he would be very urgently preaching to us, wake up! Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Keno maya beche yacho beche Jeev Krishna das e vishvas kolito adukarnaya. It's a, my dear living entity, you are washed away by this waves of maya. Why don't you wake up and understand you are Krishna's eternal servant? And this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, very urgently. But at the same time, these great souls are very patient. I think as disciples, we all need to hear this. The spiritual master has understanding for us. He never turns his back to us. Even we may sometimes be foolish. He just wants to help us very, very much. Even sometimes it may seem that the spiritual master grows impatient and calls his disciples directly, you fool, when will you ever understand? And so on. But his underlying mood is that of compassion and patience. It may happen, Prabhupada chastised his disciples, but he always was forgiving and very lenient. Now those who are like you, grand disciples, should know, or grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada, that the grandfather is more lenient than the father. Isn't it? Sometimes we all know this. When we did something totally wrong than our father, like I remember once I was coming back from an evening of illusion, and my father was waiting there. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, and he said, breathe into my face. I said, no, breathe into my face. And I had to breathe into the face. Then he said, you have broken the regulative principles. And he was very, very angry, and he couldn't control himself. The next morning I came to my grandfather and said, well, your son is extremely violent. If this doesn't stop, I won't be able to control myself also. And then I cried and said, I'm sorry, I know I shouldn't take these undesirable substances. What can you do? I mean, it's a trend of the time, and I need to know before I can give something up. And I had my whole philosophy about it. And then my grandfather just took me, and he was very kind. He said, yes, 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 I will talk to your father. I can understand. So I also remember Prabhupada is lenient, Dhanishta. But don't use this patience and this mercy, misuse it to remain a nonsense. Yeah, that's a very good question. How does envy enter the spiritual world? Is it some of very good question. How does the living entity get envious? There are tribes who do not know what is war. They don't even have a word for it. They are peace lovers. So how do we become envious? Well, the answer really lies in the point of free will. Free will means you have an option, an aval. We are all created with a free will, and this is just the way it is. And this means that we can choose for different possibilities. For instance, if we would say you have a free will to let us say, I don't want to make it so personal, let us say I'm sorry, my example will be a little analogous. Say the chief of a firma, of a firm, says to his Angestellten, his workers, you have a total free will. It means they can decide, well, I would like to, instead of working with cars, I would maybe like to paint the garage, or I would like to maybe be more engaged in looking at cars and purchasing cars for this garage. But it also would mean they can say, well, I would want to have my free space. I don't want to work here any longer. Isn't it? This is what free will has, all the possibilities. So some living entities, and I want to draw your attention to the point that it's really the minority. We are a minority group in this material cosmos. Have opted for a free space, so to say, to imitate, where they can imitate the Lord and say, I am God. It's just, see, we want to accept free will. We like to have free will, but when it comes to the point where someone misuses, so to say, the free will for this decision, then we think it's how could it come? At least, I don't know if this is the core of your question, but it was always the core of many questions which I got. People are asking, where did envy come from? Well, it's more that we misuse the free will and the position of the Lord, and we don't like to cooperate any longer with Krishna, and we want to do it separately from him. This is our choice. It's a poor choice. How could we do it? The answer lies again in the word free will. I can see at your face that you are not totally satisfied by this answer, isn't it? Some little dissatisfaction is there, because it just seems so inconceivable. And I think this inconceivability will always remain, because remember, Peter, you are asking about something which happened in the spiritual world, not to be understood. We have the explanation. Yesterday I asked Sri Dayananda Goswami if he, you know, studying Sanskrit and translation, would give me a new insight. And so, because I know of your dissatisfaction, and I'm a preacher, it always comes up, this dissatisfaction. But it's really, this is all he said. This is all which we have from Prabhupada's books. Free will implies all possibilities. Now, this feeling of enviousness, I personally can't imagine that we go like, ah, Krishna, and feel that this type of feeling which enviousness implies in the material world, this dirty, polluting thing. We just want to enjoy separately from Krishna. This is all. And from our perspective, it's, let us say, from the perspective of a pure soul, this is already envy. And that's why the word envy is coming up. Imagine you would say to Thomas, I need my space. This is not really the world for me any longer. I make Krishna art, no, wie sagt man, Artland? Nee. Oh, sorry, ich weiß es schon, nicht sagen, ich weiß es schon. Oh, es ist ja ein Vergehen, das jetzt nicht zu wissen. Wie heißt es denn? Das Symbol. Ah! I'm sorry, sag es mal schnell. Art Unlimited. Ja. Yeah. I want Art 2 Unlimited, you know. Ja. Yeah. Yes, most of them. We are in the minority. Prabhupada always gives the example of the prison. The people who are in there are in the minority. Good. Jochen. Oder wartest du was, Tatvasandhava? Nee, Jochen, this is the last question and then we will take prasadam and remember the whole day how we want to wake up from the dream. And maybe at the night we have pure devotees around here. That would be nice. Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm so weak in hearing it. Analysieren, ja. Ja. It's important to know where you have to work, but it's important to not get lost in this knowledge. Otherwise, it would be paralysis by analysis. Let me just end with a story because it's so good that some of you have not heard it. Once there was a 1,000 Füßler. That's an animal which has is like a worm and has 1,000 feet. And he was dancing to the great joy of the inhabitants of a forest. Now there was one toad, they are called. Frog, like frog. Kröte zu Deutsch. Who was becoming extremely envious of the dancing 1,000 feet worm. But because she was a cultured frog, she wrote just a letter. My dear 1,000 Füßler, 1,000 feet worm, your dancing pleases the inhabitants of the heavenly planets. And certainly also me. Now, I would like you to please tell me how you are dancing. Are you first lifting your 50th feet and then going in slow succession up to the 200th feet? Or maybe you are starting with feet number 1 and then going to 20. Then, if it's a waltz, starting with feet 980, continuing there. And going over 1,000 backwards to feet number 2. How do you dance? This is extremely interesting.